Well, if anyone's taking notes tonight, I've actually got some headings. I call tonight's sermon The Heart of the Matter. I'm going to start with good tree, bad fruit. The words of Jesus we heard earlier on. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. It's verse 43. And it's a seemingly obvious statement from Jesus. However, doing a bit of research last week, I discovered that some atheists actually consider this statement to be untrue. They say that you can sometimes find inedible fruit on an otherwise healthy tree. I am reminded of an incident that happened when I was a fairly new Christian. I was on my own, eating lunch at work, and being very spiritual at the time. I was chatting away with God, or on reflection, it was probably more like chatting away to God. And God, I said, my life is in your hands. Whatever my will is for you, whatever your will is for me, yeah, probably some of that as well. Whatever your will is for my life, whatever you send me, I will accept it. And just at that moment, I took a bite out of the apple I was holding in my hand, only to be faced by a surprised grub of some sort as it rapidly retreated into its apple-y abode. Of course, it could have been worse. It could have been half a grub. But as far as I was concerned, this was definitely inedible fruit. The atheist complaint about the untruthfulness of Jesus' statement based on inedible fruit coming from a healthy tree is, of course, completely unfounded. For a good tree always bears good fruit. The fruit that I had may well have come from a healthy tree, but it had been contaminated by some outside influence. And that's much the same as how Satan works. He does his utmost to spoil the fruit that God would form in our lives. A good tree. Sorry, we're off a good tree, bad fruit, to just good tree now. A good tree bears good fruit. And Jesus' words clearly link the quality of the tree with the quality of the fruit. If a tree is healthy, it will bear good fruit. Jesus used this comparison of trees and their fruit on several occasions and to several different audiences. Jesus is, of course, not talking about trees, but people. And people have an effect. People have an impact on the world around them and on the people around them. Good people are like good trees. And just as a good tree bears good fruit, fruit that is good to look at and good to taste, fruit that brings nourishment. In the same way, good people interact with creation and with other people in a way that is good, in a way that brings blessing and that builds up. And the opposite is true of a bad person who, like a bad tree and its inedible fruit, leaves a bad taste in the mouth, their actions and their words spreading bitterness and pain. So we move on to the heart of the matter. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. It's verse 45. So it's not about timber and twigs. It's not even about heartwood. Jesus is talking about the human heart. Although even here, we're not talking about the flesh and blood heart. For the heart is seen as the center, the very depths of personhood. The heart is the home of the inner person, of all that you are. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. So the heart, the inner person, is here being compared to a treasury, or to a warehouse, or to a storeroom. One person is a storehouse full of good things, and another person is a storehouse full of decay. We tend to judge ourselves and others by human standards. We judge one person against another. And yet we are not in the best position to judge others, or indeed even ourselves. And God's word reveals a very different standard, a higher, a purer standard. So where is the root of all this goodness? For Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? And in Psalm 14, we read, the Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. And that's God's perspective. That's the truth's perspective on the fallen human condition. One that very often we would rather not hear. As Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. But then Isaiah goes on talking about the suffering servant, talking about Jesus. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So although God holds us up to that very high standard, a standard we can never hope to attain in our own strength, God, through Jesus, also provides the means by which our hearts can be changed. And how is that to happen? How are our hearts to be changed? What can bring this about? How can we become those good trees bearing good fruit? Jeremiah saw, at least in part, when God gave him those words of his prophecy, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Doesn't that sound like the sort of tree that Jesus is asking us to be. A tree planted close to the life-giving water. It does not fear when heat comes. It sends out its roots, stretching them out, secure in its supply of that life-giving water. And in the New Testament, we find that it is Jesus himself who is the living water. You can remember that conversation Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at the well in the town of Sychar. Jesus said to the woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would give you the living water." "Sir," the woman asks, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Perhaps the greatest teaching that brings out the need for this life of Jesus to be the life that flows through us is as Jesus compares us to branches on a vine, with himself being the vine. When he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." And that's a picture of a healthy, deep-rooted vine with branches grafted into it and drawing on that life of the vine to bring forth growth and health and fruit. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." For it is only when we are joined with Christ, when his life is flowing through us, welling up to eternal life, only then can we be that good tree that Jesus is looking for. His life can take even a barren tree that has not borne fruit for many years. A tree whose trunk is infested, is beginning to rot even. Jesus' life-giving, eternal water can restore even such a tree to bring new life. With Jesus at the center, bud and leaf, flower and fruit become not just a possibility, but an inevitable certainty. Good fruit. With Jesus at the center of our lives, with Jesus as the very source of our lives, we become good trees, and good trees bear good fruit. There are basic Christian characteristics that will be present in every Christian. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus also speaks of not picking figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Fruit is not meant to be painful to be picked. and every tree does not bear the same fruit. The fruit that ripens in our lives may be expressed in different ways in each individual person. Within our families, within our schools, within our workplaces, our church, and in our world. That fruit that we bear, the fruit of Christ in our lives, is a harvest to bring nourishment and to bring life to the world. The good man speaks good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. The heart of an evil man is like a barrel of bitter, powdery apples. They may sometimes look okay, perhaps even attractive, but they are apples with no nutritional value. Apples that will have you doubled up in pain. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. At a church I've attended previously, they had a saying. Well, it was actually more than a saying. It was a principle. And it was simply this: speak life. I don't think the phrase actually appears as that in the Bible, at least not in the NIV. But that principle is alluded to in many places in Scripture. For a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks. Speak life. If our hearts, our very inner person, are drawing on the life-giving water of Jesus Christ, if Jesus, by his Spirit, is living within us, we are children of God. And our hearts will be a storehouse of ripe, nourishing, life-giving fruit. Our hearts will be a treasure chest full of priceless treasures, more valuable than gold or silver. Treasures that God gives to those who trust him. Speak life, live life, give life, all through Jesus Christ, the source of life eternal. Amen. Lord, we would just pray that you would open our hearts, that you would help us to allow you to continue working in us until the day we die, that you'd help us to allow you to change our hearts and become ever more like you. Amen.